He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Monday afternoon, Monday, October 13th. Yes, that's right, October 13th here on this Monday afternoon and evening. Can't wait to get into it with you here on another fantastic show. 2 hours of programming here for you on this wonderful afternoon. Cloudy, potentially rainy evening by tonight. Rain overnight. Can't wait to get to it. We've been waiting for a little bit of rain here in the Central Valley for a little bit of time. Feeling like winter as we get rolling along. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, of course, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays. You can listen to him there live and on demand on the ESPN Fresno app or 1430ESPNFresno.com website. We are here on the airwaves on 1430 ESPN. You can listen to my show as well, 3 to 6 p.m. normally on the afternoons, or you can listen to Paul Metter's show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports from 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 as well. It is Monday, Reaction Monday, plenty to dive into, plenty to talk about in terms of it with everything that's going on. A big busy weekend to talk about all the things that have been going on in the world of sports, including what's going on right now, including what happened Friday night, all the way through today. We've got a lot to discuss in terms of it. You want to get in on the conversation, of course, it's the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. That is the way to reach our show, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air weather check sitting at 68 degrees. 68 degrees today. Like I said, rain in the forecast by the evening side. Potentially 9 p.m. I see on my weather app in terms of it. Some lightning and thunder potentially as well. It'll be raining throughout the early morning tomorrow. On and off showers tomorrow. Down to the 61 degree high tomorrow. So one of those days you want to maybe just chill out, veg out. Unfortunately, it's a Tuesday. Everybody's got to work. So it could be one of those gloomy, droomy days in terms of it. Getting up into the 70s by the weekend, though, should be a beautiful weekend for the Central Valley in terms of everything like that. All the way up to 80 degrees on Sunday. So crescendoing into a 20-degree difference by week's end in terms of it. So get used to it, folks. It's the winter's here, or the fall's here, or whatever you want to call it. I always call it perpetual fall. Anyways, we are live on this wonderful Monday, as I say. We're going up to 5 o'clock, taking you to the kickoff between the Bears and the Commanders. Yes, I know there's two Monday Night Football games. Unfortunately, we only had to pick one, and we're going to be covering the Bears and Commanders today. Bears and Commanders going to be your Me and Ed's Major Wager game tonight. So if you want to come over to Major Wager, that's the game we're going to be covering, is the Commanders and Bears game. Of course, if you've never been to Me and Ed's Victory Grill for Major Wager, it's a fun afternoon, fun evening, all the great stuff that's going on, including some great prizes you could win if you bet correctly, of course. One of those big prizes tonight on Major Wager at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, you can win a family four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam on Friday, March 6th at the Save Mart Center. So nothing compares to the one and only Monster Jam. Awesome trucks, amazing stunts, and action-packed excitement. The world's most popular trucks like Gravedigger, El Toro Loco, and more. Only at Monster Jam. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. But like I said, or hey, we can win some tickets over there at May and Ed's Victor Gill for Monster Jam. I know I'm addressing you now because I want to ask the question that's always on the top of my mind as we come back from a weekend. Hope you had a good one. How was your weekend, Jorge, for this fine Monday? How are you feeling?
Hey, Phil, I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I'm enjoying this weather because it was I was tired of being hot. But other than that, it was a pretty good weekend. I kind of cleaned up my backyard because I knew it was going to rain.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of like chairs out, and I was like, oh, I got to pick those up because last time it rained a little bit, they all got filled up with water, and they're all dirty now. Okay. So I had to clean them up and put them up somewhere where they don't get wet anymore.
Of course. Of course.
Other than that, yeah, football. There wasn't much soccer because of the international break.
Yeah.
But mainly football all weekend.
Breezy yeah. weather over the weekend. Nice to kind of have the windows open in the house. I'm staying at my folks' house watching dog sitting and house sitting as I do. So I'm in a different environment this week, but the folks are enjoying their nice vacation. And I hope they are enjoying that. And I am taking care of a puppy that continues to just confound me in how I can train this thing to do the things I needed to do, which is not pee in the house. So that's what I'm dealing with. And of course tonight, I can't wait for the thunder and lightning to roll in because then this dog will certainly feel the fear it feels whenever any loud noises were going on. I was hearing fireworks in my area last night. So I'm like, of course we're hearing them pop off. Well, I don't know why we're popping off fireworks at the 12th of October, but it is what it is. Regardless, I had a decent weekend. Did some yard work for the parents in the house. Something cathartic about doing yard work, like you say, Jorge, in terms of it. Nothing felt more cathartic than doing yard work at the half of a Niner game and then coming back in and watching the rest of it in terms of it, right? You just take that 20-minute break and you take care of what you need to take care of. But as far as everything we want to start with this show, there's plenty to discuss, plenty to talk about. We'll get into all of the things that we're going to get into. Here's a little quick rundown agenda for you. Of course, we're going to talk Fresno State football. Why wouldn't we? Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? We'll talk about the both Monday night games coming up tonight. Little NFL reaction as well and playoff thoughts. We'll also have a quick, fun interview with Karen Robley of volleyball, the head coach of the volleyball team. We're going to call them at 4:30. So quick interview, talking about a big event coming up on Friday for the volleyball team, which is entering its 50th season. So there's a big celebration on Friday. So we'll get the information out for the people who are interested in that, talking to the head coach. So that's coming up today on the docket. Like I said, going up till 5 p.m. I can't wait to dive into everything, but I think we have to start with the bad, right, Jorge? And we have to start with what happened Friday night with the Fresno State Bulldogs. Of course, as you probably understand, I was not fully locked into the football game as I usually am. Frankly, I was locked into another football game calling Sanger and Justin Garza. By the way, awesome game. We'll get into that later in the show. But I was talking... It was tongue-in-cheek in terms of the broadcast of, I think I said something of, if you're turning off the Fresno State game and welcoming to our broadcast, welcome, enjoy. Because I imagine a lot of people were not happy with how things had started, getting up to 35-7 at the half in terms of it for the Bulldogs on that as well. So what happened, what could go wrong, did go wrong, everything going wrong in Fort Collins on Friday. I did rewatch some of what was going on, but I think the tail of the tape tells you exactly kind of where everything started from the beginning. And in my opinion, this Bulldog team is capable of doing really good things on the football field when the game goes the way they want it to go. And when the game goes the way they want it to go is when they control the possession, control the time, control, you know, how the game is paced and it not getting too fast and not getting too far away from them. Because once the game quickens up in like it did in Fort Collins, then suddenly things start going a different direction. I'm going to read some drive charts here real quick. Because as we recall, coming into this football game, San Diego State, who's a very good football team, and we're going to be facing them in about 12 days, ran 300-plus yards on this Bulldog team, on this Colorado State team just a week ago. And I said that this Fresno State team had one of the best running depth situations you could argue in the national landscape in college football. And what did we do to open this football game? A nice, modest 3-yard gain from Bryson Donaldson. Then a completion of 14 yards for E.J. Warner down to Jalen Farrar. Nice 7-yard run. We're off and running. We're moving the football. Things are great. Then, on a 2nd-and-3 play, big-time holding. I think one of the worst holding calls can be happening on 2nd down because it puts you back in a horrible situation. E.J. Warner sacked on the next play. E.J. Warner completion that was well short of a 1st down. Bulldogs have to punt and send it away. Colorado State, big-time play on the run, touchdown. Goes up 7-0. All right, we get the ball back. Let's see what happens next. 4-yard run for Donaldson, not too bad. Then another completion to Josiah Freeman for just a couple yards. We do complete it to Harold Duvall for 23 yards. We're moving this football. We're moving this football at the beginning of this game. Donaldson, another 2-yard rush. It's 2 yards rush, 4-yard rush, 3-yard rush. Felt like it's kind of not up to the pace of where you hope it to be. Incomplete pass. And then a pass intended for, I believe it was Beecham, who had no idea where the football was, intercepted by E.J. Warner. Then everybody started to feel the nerves. And Colorado State goes down, scores again. 5 straight rushing plays next for the Bulldogs. Cannot get a yard. Goes for it on 4th-and-3 at the punt situation. Thought it was too far for a punt situation to do the fake punt. Turnover on downs, and then they're off and running. Colorado State feels the momentum, and then you're behind, and then you're not able to run the ball because you're down 21-0 before you could blink, and then the Bulldogs are certainly not in a situation where they can handle that kind of deficit. And now we know the glaring mistakes that have stood out for so long in this football season, for 7 weeks, is finally rearing its ugly head of penalties, lack of consistency, inability to make the tackles when they needed to. It all compartmentalized into a disastrous 49-21 final in Fort Collins. But not all losses are created equal. Not all wins are created equal. And my hope is that the Bulldogs absolutely could use this extra time off to evaluate what that was, throw it away, and see what they can provide against San Diego State in 12 days. It's a long time to sit on that one. It's a long time for this fandom to sit on this one. And it's a long time for me and you and everybody to be sitting on that tape and understanding what you're going to be seeing the next few games. Because these next two really can tell you a lot about what this team is going to be. Are we a Hawaii Bowl team? Are we an LA Bowl team? Are we a Mountain West Championship team? No more slip-ups after that. I can rest assured for you, but this is certainly one of the more frustrating losses I think the Bulldogs have ever had. But fortunately, it's only in the 2nd of 2025. And so there's plenty of time to correct it. It is simply the worst case scenario, though, in terms of that outcome. I talked a lot there, Jorge. I don't know what your thoughts were about this football game. I don't know if you have a glaring statement on it. I sit here and I can't point at many. I can't point on one thing. I can't point at two things. I simply say the entire team just did not show up on Friday, and I think that's as simple as it can be said.
Was the first Colorado State first play of the game that was the touchdown, right?
It was their 3rd run of the football game. I got the drive sheet once again for you here in this first quarter. Colorado State opens their drive with a 10-yard rush, a 3-yard scramble, and then on 2nd-and-7, 73 yards to the house.
I don't understand how, like, so the announcer at the beginning of the game, they said Fresno State decided not to go and get the ball in the second half. They decided to take the ball at the beginning and so that they could score early.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't have to
deal with... Won the toss and will receive.
Deal with what, you know, what happened last week, which was they got behind and it was a big struggle. Well, they didn't get behind this last week, but, you know...
They threw a pick on the first drive last week. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Nevada decided to give us a nice gift right after that, but...
Well, the thing was that they got behind and it looked like they were just... not there. They looked like they weren't. There was no movement in the line whenever they were running.
Mm-hmm.
So the runners got stuck with the first guy that was gonna hit them. They couldn't go laterals because there was nowhere to go over there. And every time, the only success they actually found was throwing. Mm-hmm. But that got old quickly because they knew exactly what they were doing since they couldn't run anymore. It just felt like. Like they got, you know, out of coach every level of the game, from the calling toss to the very end.
Coach said that flat out right at the game. I don't know if you saw like Jackson Moore's video of the post game presser, and Coach Entz, first thing he talked about it, he was out coached, and it was not ideal.
I think this was his first big game of. Being in Division One, it
shouldn't have been a big game though. This is bleeping Colorado State at 1-4. Right. It shouldn't have been.
It should have been, but somehow
Kansas was big.
Yeah, and you saw his flaws there too, or his lack of experience, and now here, I couldn't understand why they weren't moving, and he seemed frustrated from the very beginning of it.
Well, like
when the cameras were looking at him, he looked frustrated the entire game.
Well, doesn't it feel like the Bulldogs have kind of gotten away with it the last couple of weeks? Gotten away with it because one of my favorite quotes in football is Bill Parcells saying, "Winning is the best deodorant." It's the because there's things that can smell fishy on a football team, but if winning is going to be the way it is, people thought about like you think about that Vikings team like 3 years ago, and they just kept winning these crazy one score games, and like. Everyone's like, how is this Vikings team like 10-1, 11-1? It's not possible. And then, of course, when they get to the playoffs, Daniel Jones goes and beats them for the New York Giants. You know what I mean? So there are seasons where you sit there and say, well, the record is the record. 5-2 is 5-2. Not many other teams in the nation could say they're 5-2. You can imagine there's some schools out there that would much rather be 5-2.
Penn State?
Right. UCLA, you know what I mean? Oregon State at 0-7, just firing their coach. So obviously the sky felt like it was falling on Friday, and emotions got raw because Fresno State fans feel like they got duped on Friday. I mean, that's what it is.
They faced a team that was talented but inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't at home, so... When Colorado State came and just punched them in the mouth, they just couldn't punch them back. And they couldn't do anything.
And it's not like we've been punched in the mouth before and then we couldn't punch back. We got punched by Georgia Southern, right?
And it, yeah.
And we came and back in that one.
We came back, but all of a sudden, like, you get three punches in and you start punching back. Like,
yeah.
You're already down, man.
Just felt like panic. Just felt like panic on the football field from all the players, from all the guys around it. It just felt like a boulder running downhill, and they were trying to catch
it. And I gotta say this: in the third quarter, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
They look different. They look poised. It felt like they were doing things differently, and it showed in the play. And Colorado State adjusted. And it was just too much to cover.
How many penalties do we have? Because I think that's got to be the number one question out of this whole thing. Because if you're an offense who is big time on avoiding mistakes and avoiding negative plays in terms of it, penalties surely will destroy you in any aspect of it. And as I try to look, I saw, where are we at? Full game. stats, penalties. Can I find it here on this sheet? I hope I do. If not, I think we were at number like, there we go. How about this, Jorge? Fresno State committed 13 penalties, 117 yards. 117! 117 yards they gave up in penalties. Like, that's astounding. Astounding inefficiency in terms of that. You can point to the turnovers, man. You can point to the issues of E.J. Warner getting tackled from behind and letting a ball be loose because he's trying to make a play, and it's fair. And I argue that the second pick is just desperation at that point. I think it came with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Don't blame him for trying to make something happen. And the first pick, I would say, I'm not. And you're all going to come out and say, yeah, he's being an apologist to the E.J. Warner situation. But be real about the things that are going on with this football team. And yes, I don't want to see a turnover in a football game this year in terms of Fresno State. But 13 penalties for 117 yards, 117 bleeping yards is a turnover. And that's not his fault. That's the entire team that is giving up an entire field plus of yardage to the other team. You don't win football games that way.
I did see a huge disconnect between EJ and the receivers.
Beecham had no idea where that football was being thrown.
I didn't know if there was.
And that was desperation.
And was
I don't want to.
Entire game. Yeah. Throughout the entire game. I don't know if they didn't practice well this week or if they threw new plays at him, but
yeah,
he was throwing the ball to places where there was nobody. And the receivers were looking at him like, where are you going with it? And he was just frustrated because he knew that wasn't the play that they were supposed to go to.
And what is conducive to that? Is that just simply lack of preparation, lack of communication? Where was the efficiency? We've seen efficiency in the Oregon. Like, where is the Oregon State drives that were going on? Like, when we needed it.
And it all comes down to coaching.
Yeah.
And whether those plays were different because they were playing, you know, they were on plan C instead of plan A or mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know. But something was completely wrong that day.
Well, you know when plays aren't working is when you're in 3rd and 17 all the time because you're giving up penalties. That's just not winning football. So everything needs to be fixed there. Everything needs to be fixed. They tried to get away with it for the last couple of weeks, and frankly, thank God they got their butts whooped. Because now it shows you that you play like that again, you're not beating anybody.
And quite frankly, I just want to say that EJ, yeah, he threw those interceptions. Yeah, he lost a fumble. But I don't feel like there's anything else in there that we have that can play better than him.
You can put Aaron Rodgers, you can put anybody behind that line right now, and that line is not allowing them to have the time they need to play quarterback
was,
right now.
There was zero push.
And that line is not allowing anybody to get the rushing yards they need. You could put Adrian Peterson behind that line right now.
There are a couple of second-string players in there, and that's not as true. But
and it's been this way the last couple of years, Jorge. The line has had been – I hate to be the one who's pointing it out, but it this line has not been the way this line has needed to be in the last couple of years, and I thought things were different, and I don't know what they can do to fix things in there, but man, it is glaring, and teams now know how to dog walk this team, and that's frankly terrifying, especially with a team that can run 300-plus yards on somebody that's coming in your building in 12 days, either 12:30 Pacific or 4 p.m. Pacific. We're still waiting to see on that one for a few days. Anyways. We went way over time on this, but I got so many more thoughts, but we got 12 days to kind of percolate on that. So maybe we table the Fresno State conversation for a little bit later. So let's just get the show rolling here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Who's Been Oddie, Who's Been Ice of the Week. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday afternoon. Crazy schedule we got for you with all the baseball playoffs and primetime football and all that great stuff. By the way, over on 790, you can listen to Mariners and Blue Jays. Mariners up 1-0 in that series. They're tied at 3 right now, and I think they're reviewing a double as we speak. The Mariners might have a leadoff double with Randy Arozarena. Randy Arozarena, of course, always – I think I always remember him famously for that World Series walk-off. He's scoring that crazy run in the walk-off World Series in 2020. Jorge, you remember that play against the Dodgers? When the Dodgers booted the ball around around the field, and then Arozarena scores in that bubble World Series back in 2020.
Yeah. See, he came more into my radar, like in the world classic world classic when he played for Mexico.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he was Mexican until I read his story. I was like, oh, okay, makes sense.
Oh, gosh, I just saw what happened here. So the Blue Jays have thrown they were trying to get the runner out and threw a ball, and it went wayward, and it went towards the Mariners' dugout, and sitting on one of the steps is Eugenio Suarez, and the ball thrown hit Eugenio Suarez's back and went into the dugout. Like, he's sitting sideways, like, if he's watching the game this way, like,
yeah.
And the ball has come, the second baseman's throwing the ball, and it went goes wide of the first base side, and it hit Eugenio Suarez on the back and went out of play. I don't know what the Blue Jays are trying to argue. He's allowed to sit there, I think, right? You're allowed to sit on the top set of a dugout? Am I correct in that?
I don't know if you're allowed to sit on top of the dugout.
He's sitting on the steps, like he's sitting on the, like he's his butt is level to the ground of the field of play, and it hits his backside.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's a.
I think he typically sits there all the time in this space.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people sit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a weird thing for a baseball to hit a player and go out of play, but that ball looked like it was going out of play anyway. So I don't know what the argument is. In terms of this. So this is a strange replay review, which now they're reviewing. I can't imagine this go any other way than Arozarena is going to be at second with nobody out. Unless just there's a rule that you cannot sit there. And I think they upheld it. So yeah, Blue Jays not happy with that. Anyways, back to everything. Let's do a who's been naughty, who's been nice from the weekend in terms of it. And Jorge, where do we want to start?
Let's go with who's been naughty.
Who's been naughty? All right, let's do the trombone sound effect for the referees in the Patriots game. Did you hear what Mike Vrabel had to say about the Patriots, the refs in the Patriots and Patriots and Saints game? He said that he sent a trainer to send ice packs to the referee room, locker room, because he was worried about how sore their shoulders were from throwing all the penalty flags all day. But realistically, there was some craziness going on in terms of a touchdown being thrown and then a penalty being called and then the CBS broadcast getting confused if the touchdown counted and the refs lost count of where the football was and whether it should have been a two-point conversion. At one point, they had the wrong score up in the stadium and nobody knew what the score was. It was horribly officiated. Many, I think two or three touchdowns were called back in the game. Everything despite everything, the Patriots still won. But it was one of the worst officiated games I think the NFL has seen this year. So I just wanted to point that out.
No, I feel like it wasn't just like them. I feel like all the refs were having a hard time this weekend. I don't know why. There was a couple of times there in the Niners game where I was like, well, how is that a foul? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Let's go to who's been nice. And we're going to give a who's been nice. How about some statistics for Rico Dowdle? Rico Dowdle, a guy who's a journeyman cowboy guy who was running back for them for, what, 5 years, I think, Jorge, in terms of it. You want to hear some Rico Dowdle stats if I got them for you? 234 scrimmage yards in a win over the Dolphins last week. He's the seventh player since 1933 to record at least 230 scrimmage yards in consecutive games. Here is your list of guys who have done 230-plus in scrimmage yards in consecutive games. Le'Veon Bell in 2014. Josh Gordon, 2013, Deuce McAllister, 2003, Marshall Faulk, Walter Payton, Jim Brown. Rico Dowdle is on that list.
Well.
How about that?
How about that?
That's some insane stuff right there in terms of it. But outside of it, the dude has been balling. I think he has the most scrimmage yards in a game over, like, ever in Panthers history in a single game over, like, Christian McCaffrey. Over like Jonathan Stewart, you know, fantastic stuff. And I also say it because he's winning me some fantasy games. So it's also partially the reason why he's in the Who's Been Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Rico Dowdle. Remember the name. All right. Let's go to a Who's Benatti. We're going to Cleveland Browns. I saw this stat, Jorge. You want to know how many teams have only scored 18 points or less or haven't scored 18 points this season?
They haven't?
Yeah, the Browns. The Browns have not scored.
One, right?
They have only scored 17 points or less. The only team in the National Football League. The only team in college football. If you also combine college football teams, and I believe every team that is still in the MLB playoffs have also scored 18-plus runs
seen
or
that
points.
Graphic. Yeah. Even like baseball teams scored
18-plus at some plus. Point this season. Yes.
They were like, but we call them runs.
Yes, we call them runs, though. So the Browns. Have yet to score. I don't know what Dylan Gabriel is providing. At one point I heard he had negative air yards through the first half of that football game against the Steelers.
Why do you have negative air yards?
Because you're throwing behind the line. It's the classic Tua thing. We'll get to Tua in a second.
Okay.
Yeah. The Browns, man. I don't understand. I guess you could get something for Joe Flacco. I guess that's nice. And, you know, the AFC North just loves to share sloppy seconds with each other in terms of the quarterback position. So fascinating stuff there. But the Browns, man, they continue to confound me. And I don't know when they're going to win another football game down the stretch. They have the Dolphins this week. So maybe that is we'll talk about ranking those games tomorrow. I actually genuinely curious what Joe thinks about that. But he might still be in the baseball mode. But, yeah, Browns, they get my second Benatti of the week. Ready for Benice? One more Benice?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm giving it to Baker Mayfield, and I'm giving it to him specifically, and this is going to hurt Niner fans. You remember that 3rd and 14 in the second half, Jorge? Or were you watching the game intently?
I remember nothing.
There was a 3rd and 14 where Baker Mayfield slips between two defenders and somehow scrambles to the left side, jukes a guy, spins around, and then dives forward for a first down on 3rd and 14 for Baker Mayfield, who is, I don't think he's no taller than 6 feet tall, continues to confound people in the way he's been able to play football. And that is as clutch of a run as I ever seen, because it obviously led to some Buccaneer points. But that was as squirrely, as crazy of a scramble, and just makes me love Baker Mayfield every which way possible. And
you know whose side that was?
Who?
Linebacker wise?
Yeah, was that Fred Warner? Should have been Fred Warner's? And it wasn't Fred Warner's, right? So, for obvious reasons. We just had a big play.
You probably would have been sacked if it was Fred Warner.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Fred doesn't have an ankle right now, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. By the way,
he has one. It's just not attached to.
It's not attached to his body right now.
the rest of his leg.
That's unfortunate, Jorge. You kind of need that, don't you? Kind of need.
Sometimes.
You kind of need your ankle attached to you, in some form or fashion. You know, they didn't even show a replay. They were like, "It's so horrific."
They showed it once.
Did they show it once?
Yeah, they showed it once.
Is it bad?
Not as bad as others that I've seen, but okay. Yeah, it's like if you don't like watching the stuff, then you would have definitely cringed.
By the way, big update in Mariners Blue Jays. Jorge Polanco just hit a 3-run homer. It's 6-3 Seattle. 3-run homer. 6-3 Seattle. He's holding the Trident right now. Jorge Polanco. Jorge Polanco?
He's on fire now.
American League MVP
been,
right now?
Yeah, he's been on
playoff
fire.
MVP?
I think so. He hit a home run in the other series, and
yeah,
I think he's.
Of course, it was off Louis Varland. Louis Varland stunk this playoffs. Good for the Mariners. My last Benatti, we go to Tua Tagovailoa. Did you see him call out his teammates for being late to meetings and just trying to air out all the dirty laundry after another loss? And now the Dolphins are 1-5. And is that quite simply what you want out of your quarterback to be doing right at the very moment, saying guys are showing up late to player only meetings and not guys aren't being accountable? That's a little bit too much of the truth serum, Tua. And man, things are falling apart in Miami, Jorge. And did you see former teammates calling out Tua on social media saying, hey, Tua, you used to be the guy showing up late to these things. So who are you calling out for people who are showing up late? So this thing's a whole mess. That we knew the Dolphins could be a mess. And, man, it is worse and worse every day. And, Tua gets my Benatti for just having no lack of awareness in what he is talking about. So, Jorge, there we go. Tua Tagovailoa gets my last Who's Benatti.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it just, he didn't perform that well. It was okay. It was a kind of a performance. But to go out and say that stuff about your teammates, that's just not right.
Rough, man. It's rough. It's rough in Miami land. And they thought they won the game. And then Ladd McConkey showed up.
They didn't play bad.
I knew they were going to match up well with that Chargers team.
Yeah, Daniels had a good, plan to go out mm-hmm. after the Chargers, and the Chargers were struggling. But at the end of the day,
it's rough.
It ended up being Chargers' way.
My last Benice. I'm gonna go to the high school level. How about Sanger and Justin Garza in that game?
Yes.
How about that overtime game? I don't ever see overtime in high school football. And I got the "Are you not entertained?" Feeling in that game on Friday night when Paul Metters and I were calling that football game.
Yeah, it was so good that there's no recording of it.
Jorge, I wasn't gonna bring it up.
Technical issues, man. Technical issues.
Say. you're clearly fixing it right now. We're getting closer to fixing the technical issues.
Yeah, the monitor was good and we didn't have power to the.
Yeah.
Mouse or keyboard. Now we have the keyboard and the mouse, but we don't have the monitor.
So I'm issuing,
he's getting worked on.
I'm issuing a formal apology to the people of Sanger that unfortunately we do not have the game recording of Friday night's game. It'll live in your memories forever and ever, but we do not have the audio evidence of it. But what a win by Sanger. Felt like they were dead to rights a couple times. Garza with the amazing comeback after Sanger was playing almost the perfect offensive game of just run the ball, play keep away, goes to overtime. They make the plays they need to make, and then a big-time sack to basically close out the football game, makes it fourth and forever in overtime. And, by the way, Garza completing almost a touchdown on that last play, just a couple yards shy. One of my favorite games we've called so far in the last year and a half I've been here. So kudos to Sanger and Justin Garza. Somebody had to lose, and that's the unfortunate part because I think both teams played their hearts out on Friday. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll break down Bills and Falcons next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Monday afternoon. Let's do the daily spread part one. I'm going to call this part one because we got two different games to talk about here today. Daily spread brought to you by brought to you by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. Daily spread brought to you by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. When you're not trying your luck at your game teams, try your luck at Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. Part one here with the Bills and the Falcons tonight, which kicks off in little less than 30 minutes from now. Falcons are 3.5-point dog at home against this Buffalo Bills team. But I have a feeling, that tonight could get frustrating for Buffalo. Run defense is something that Buffalo will need to be better at. And the Patriots last week exploited it just a little bit, ball control and the way they were able to throw on the outsides and make things happen. I get a sense that Atlanta seriously could contend and potentially beat this Buffalo Bills team tonight. So that's where I sit. On the flip side, injury situations right now for the Buffalo Bills. No Dalton Kincaid tonight, tight end for Buffalo. I think there's no DeMar Hamlin right now for Buffalo. So certain players in, certain players out in terms of that. Should be an interesting matchup tonight. I think this is going to be a close game. I think I'm very intrigued by this game tonight. Jorge, are you intrigued by the Bills and the Falcons, especially knowing that the Niners have to play this Falcons team next week on Sunday Night Football?
How good are the Falcons, though?
They're coming off a bye.
Yeah.
Well rested.
What's the record?
2-2, I would like to say, I think.
2-2. I don't know. It felt like the Falcons didn't have much at the beginning of the season.
They beat the Commanders two weeks ago.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they good?
They've beaten the Falcons and the Commanders. They barely lost to the Bucs, and they got absolutely manhandled by the Panthers. So where are we sitting with the Falcon team right now? Because
such a weird team.
On the resume, I'd say this team is right in the middle of the road of where it is right now. And so, but I think matchup-wise, I think it's a Bijan Robinson potential feast tonight. And if the Falcons can keep the Bills off the football field, tonight could get really frustrating for Buffalo. Now, Buffalo could just sling around all the football field and go after this Atlanta defense, and maybe it's a big James Cook game tonight. But I don't know if I necessarily feel like Buffalo is playing at their full potential, especially knowing what they've been able to do the last
maybe
4 weeks.
Maybe a couple of TDs by Josh Allen. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe four or five. Maybe.
Four or five? Is that what you're asking? So yeah,
I just don't know. If you get beat like that by you know, the Panthers,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, and then you go out and beat the Commanders, I don't know where you are. It's hard to tell.
I think I'm going to put my foot down and say the Falcons are going to upset the Buffalo Bills tonight. I feel it. I have this gut feeling about it. I don't feel like great about it, but I think matchup wise, football is about matchups. All the
time. Where are they playing?
In Atlanta.
Huh. That makes it. I think they're going to lose, but they're going to lose by a small margin.
You think it's going to be close?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close.
Do you think 3.5 is the right number tonight for Vegas?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put these teams on the neutral field, you're saying Buffalo's a 6.5-point better team.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. I selfishly also want Buffalo to lose tonight so that the Patriots have sole possession of first place in the AFC East.
Ah, see, you're...
See, now...
Your biases are showing.
But truthfully, though, I'm convincing myself there's a chance. There's a chance for Atlanta tonight. Is Penix not proving anything yet to you? Yet?
I mean, he's... I've seen him play before. I know what he's got, and
mm-hmm.
it's just I don't know that Atlanta has that good of a team.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, there's a lot of we'll see in this game tonight. I think there's two things that need to be proven. Can Buffalo just bounce back and find a way? I don't know how many times Josh Allen has lost back-to-back games. It's not very many. And on the flip side, Atlanta's signature hasn't really had a signature win in the last 10 years, it feels like, and this feels like the time they could do it. In terms of 10 years is drastic. I would say the last 5 years, Atlanta's looking for their first big win.
After the Super Bowl run.
Since Matt Ryan basically left, in terms of it. Speaking of Josh Allen, congrats to Feuerbach for naming their field Josh Allen Field, and congrats to Feuerbach for beating the hell out of Tranquility on that night.
You were going to go there.
But
it is what it is.
Hey, how does it feel to have Tranquility a part of history in that naming of Josh Allen
Field? Naming of Josh Allen Field?
They're the
team. I don't know that there was much history there, but they're teams that have gone back and forth into because sometimes they're in different divisions, but there's always like a rivalry there between them, just mm-hmm. because we've been part of like the same area and played against each other for a long time, not just football but other sports too. So
yeah. Well, awesome stuff. Really, really would love to know if Josh Allen's going to come to Feuerbach.
I'm sure he is. I feel like they did it in the wrong time. I feel like they should have done it on his bye week or.
Well, next week is his bye week.
I
don't know if Feuerbach has a home game next week.
Maybe they didn't have a home game or.
Yeah, maybe they do. Yeah. Maybe they do. Hold on, we'll see. I'm checking the schedule right now.
Maybe do it at the beginning of the season where he's less, you know, or at the end of the season, or maybe do it in the off season and have like a big, you know, thing about naming the stadium after him.
They're at Avenal. They're at Avenal. So no Josh Allen homecoming, maybe. But they got to really line up the schedule, see if they can make it happen. So come on, NFL. Work with it.
Party.
I know there's millions of dollars online, but you got to contact the Feuerbach
so you can come schools by.
So we can get Josh Allen at home at Josh Allen Field.
I'm sure he comes by and checks on his orchard trees.
I'm sure his cantaloupes. All right. Let's take
orchard cantaloupes?
Yes. Let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. It's, is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday afternoon. One more hour to go before we send you to Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Commanders from our nation's capital. Hour number two, like I said, we want to contact us. Leaser Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. And I start with this question before we dive into the NFL conversation. I kind of half-heartedly threw it out there in the middle of our Fresno State conversation, but I did point out there's some news, at least from the aspect of what homecoming will look like coming up on the 25th. The Mountain West and Fox Sports 1 have come out and said that the game will kick off either 12:30 or 4 p.m. next Saturday. It's a blackout. It's homecoming. It's Tedford's retirement ceremony, jersey number / name in the rafters, whatever you call it, retirement ceremony. Ring of Honor. That's the one I'm looking for. Fantastic honor for Jeff Tedford. But I asked this question to you, and I'll ask this question to Jorge. What start time would you rather have for the Bulldogs next Saturday? Do you want 12:30? Do you want 4 p.m.? And will this quell anybody leaving early at halftime for this one? Everybody should stick around if that's going to be either the start times, right?
I guess if you start at 12, not a lot of people are going to leave. But if you start at 4, it's more likely that people will leave like around halftime.
I'd be so frustrated.
And also, I don't want it to be at 12.
Why not?
Well, I guess there is a lot. I could do other stuff afterwards, right?
You could do so many things.
But it just doesn't feel like a football game. I don't know. It feels weird.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Not enough lead-up time, not enough tailgate time. Everybody's got to tailgate at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, what am I tailgating so early for?
8 in the morning?
And that's the game I was planning on going to.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go to the early game. If it's
4 p.m. feels like the sweet spot, and also 4 p.m. feels like nobody has an excuse to leave. I'm telling you, man, you can get out of that stadium by 9 p.m. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yep. The people leave by 9 anyway during the 7 p.m. games.
True.
So no excuses. I frankly am okay with both of these start times. No excuses, in my opinion, for anybody to leave early. I'll take it. And if people leave early, then it's a Red Wave problem. It's not a game time situation problem. It's a Red Wave problem.
True.
So, no more excuses. Personally, I think 4 p.m., the blackout will play better instead of a broad daylight blackout.
I mean, it's...
You know what I mean?
It really depends on the weather.
Yeah.
If it's kind of cold.
If it's 80, like Sunday's supposed to be, like if it got up to 80 again, I don't know. We have no idea what the temperature's going to look like. Do we have a 14-day forecast?
You could look up into that, but it's not reliable.
Let me just start getting the wheels churning now. 14-day forecast, Fresno. What do we got? Do I go to AccuWeather, Jorge? Is that the one?
No, we should call Kopi. Ask him.
Kopi? What does Kopi got in terms of it?
He just do the 10-day forecast?
Yeah. I got 75 and sunny. No chance of moisture.
Okay. Not for that could change. That's a good temperature, though. That's a good
75 football. And sunny is exactly what you want to be there. Somehow AccuWeather has temperatures all the way to November, though, so I don't know how exact that looks like. Maybe AccuWeather's not the way to go. Do I go to the weather? Not the weather network. I want to go to Weather Channel. What about the Weather Channel? Do I got anything there? 75, mostly sunny, is what the Weather Channel tells me. 6% chance of moisture. So, all right. Too early to tell. Anyways, regardless. Let's talk about NFL last night and what we saw and what we are reacting to most. Of course, let's talk about the injury report brought to you by our law firm, injury law firm at Davis and Van Wagenen. They don't win if you don't win. Be sure to stop by Davis and Van Wagenen today for any of your injury law needs. And let's talk about the big one in terms of the 49ers yesterday. Fred Warner going down. What Jorge, you described a dislocated ankle. Not broken, but
Yeah, I was dislocated. He has to have surgery on it.
Yes.
So he's off for the rest of the year.
Out for the year.
It's not as bad as people as you know.
Like the injury itself is easy to heal from. I would say, if of all the injuries, like if he tore his Achilles, I think I'd have a bigger concern. Or
it's something that people come back from fine.
Yes.
Like he won't have a, lingering issues, but
exactly. Hopefully. Exactly. But Fred is a guy who has barely missed any time. I think he's only missed one game in his entire career.
Even when he had a broken leg, he was still out there.
This is unfortunately going to really be painful for the 49ers, and we are going to see the toll taken in terms of how this team can play defense on top of what it's trying to do as a football team. 4-2, the record. You feel like this is a team that's capable of getting to a playoff situation and being in the playoffs and being in the dance. But I think this escalates, Jorge, the need to go after a guy and get somebody at the trade deadline that can be a high-impact defensive player for the 49ers. And I'm not talking about replacing Fred, and I'm not talking about replacing Bosa, but you now are pressed to simply have to act now and go find someone out there. I don't think you can stand pat anymore with the rookies that you have on this defense. However decent they have been, they are not enough, in my opinion, to go through the rest of this season and try to win an NFC West title. My number one is Trey Hendrickson, of course, in Cincy. Cincy has now fallen again after losing to Green Bay. But, Jorge, this certainly, in my opinion, accelerates the need to trade for somebody. Do you feel like this accelerates the need immensely for the Niners to go find a high-impact defensive player that is out there on the market?
No, I don't think they need to find someone.
No?
No.
I'm surprised.
And honestly, I think that they could wait a little bit and see if they need it. Just because they are 4-2. A couple of the games that are coming up are tough. But if you pass through those games and see where you end up, do you need somebody or not? I mean, if you're...
It'd be nice to have somebody, especially when you're getting into that playoff run, though. Like, right? Yeah. Because you're going to be playing all those great teams, including a Tampa Bay team that, frankly, did what they wanted to do on offense yesterday, I felt like, against that 49er defense, as soon as Fred Warner went out. Right?
You could say that, but... I think if you... It depends on really where you are. If you... You know, lost so many games that you're not going to make the playoffs, then why even bother? Like, you know, you could save some money and just keep the ones you have. But if you...
Why bother? Because these guys are getting a year older. Some of the guys that are important to this team, right? George Kittle, right? Who's is expected back from injury, by the way. Kyle Shanahan said he will be playing this next game for the 49ers against the Falcons on Sunday.
What I'm saying is if you go out and use four and you lose... Four of the next five, right? So now you're...
But why punt on it, though? Why lose four of the next five and when you can just make a change now? And go win four of the next five, right?
But I don't feel like you need to change now.
What's the point of running through the season, though, Jorge, if you don't want to win? That's my point.
It's not that we don't want to win. I'm saying, like, if you do lose them, Then you could see if you could find somebody.
I'm simply saying pushing the chips. What I'm hearing from you is that you're saying that you don't forego the future. You want to maintain the future instead of mortgaging it. You want to make sure that this team is set up right for the next few years, as opposed to putting the chips all in for this year, which feels like this year has been so snake bitten it's not even worth it.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't see us going to the playoffs and doing a lot with it.
But I think you can if you get an impact, one impact player. I think you're one impact player away and saying, I can say the Niners are a Super Bowl team. With the way Kyle has been coaching this year, I think you are one player away. I think you quite simply are one player away. And don't you want to be in that position to be one player away?
So maybe if we win two out of the next three games. So we have what? Atlanta, we have...
You have Atlanta, you have Houston, and you have the Giants.
Yeah.
Two road games, one home game.
We win two out of those three. I feel like maybe we could make a push for somebody.
But what if you don't? Like, why wait is my question. Why wait? Because, like, because then you make the question answered for you if you do wait, right? Because instead of just... pressing the issue and saying,
if we go out now, who are we going to get?
Trey Hendrickson, who is a guy who has an expiring contract, who won't cost you anything after this year. All that money, which, by the way, you insured with some of the players who are injured, by the way. Nick Bosa gave you a nice little kickback and some cash that you're able to pay some of the guys who are going to come in if you want to trade for it because you had that nice insurance policy. So I think the Niners clearly understand that they can spend some money here right now. And let's be frank about it. Trey Hendrickson is as low-risk, high-reward kind of guy I can think of that the Niners can go all in for 1 year and then say, thank you for what you've done. Go enjoy or reap your rewards and find a free agency somewhere else. We will take you off your hands, but we are not going to pay you the rest of the time.
I don't know. I don't know if he could fit well in our system. And I mean... I don't know. I feel like...
I think anybody at this point, I would take
I think
them.
The injury just happened this past Sunday.
Yeah.
I think we need one more game to see where we are, to see who we got, and see how we're going to end up going after, you know, another team that's tough, but it's not, you know, the toughest we're going to face.
Yet. I just think not having Fred and not having Bosa is delaying the inevitable, which is a team that cannot pressure the football and a team that cannot potentially stop the run and be ferocious in the middle. And when you know that, and when you know you don't have guys that are capable of that, D. Winters is fine, but he's not that. And it, to me, it tells me that because you know you can win games like against the Rams, and you know you can win games like you did against the Cardinals and the Seahawks and those wild come-from-behind wins in that sense. You're set up in a spot. You're frankly, I would say, all right, you're just as close to being 2-4 as 4-2 right now, but because you're 4-2, you're afforded this opportunity to take a risk. And I don't think even the risk is high enough for it to be a risk at all. I think it's a no-brainer that the Niners can go in on this roster because you know you have Kittle coming back. You know you have Ayuk coming back. You know eventually Purdy's coming back in some form or fashion. And you had Mustafa come back, which is nice. And you have plenty of other players that are still waiting on the wings to come back in some sort of injury play. Pearsall is still waiting to come back. Like, there's still so much for this Niners team to still have that can make them an elite football team beyond the 4-2 record that clearly, to me, adding a player will bring juice to a roster that is ready to win a Super Bowl if it does make the move. Right now, the defense is not ready to win a Super Bowl as it stands. But you can. It can if you add one.
I just don't think that move is going to change a lot. I just don't think that one move is going to change a lot. I think that we need to wait and see what we still have and how those guys are going to come out and perform and see if we really need that another player like that.
Well, if Bijan Robinson runs for 180 on Sunday Night Football next week against you
then we'll talk about it again.
it'll be red alert, DEFCON 1, Niners, come on, wake the hell up. That's where I'm at.
I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'd rather go for it, man. This team is capable of going for it. I'd rather go. I'd be losing my mind if I'm a Niners fan. I'd be like, come on, let's. Kyle's coaching his ass off. He deserves it. He deserves it. Sal's coaching his ass off. He deserves it.
I'm good at getting anyone, but what do we give up? What are we gonna?
What are the picks, Jorge? He screwed up a draft class already. Like, what are the picks, right? You can make it happen.
See, there it is again. See, I'm trying to plan for the future here.
I know.
Not just, you know.
My future is a Super Bowl title, Jorge. That's what the Niners should go for. Where's the train is at the station. That's where I'm at. I'm like, you can set up and mortgage the future all you want or whatever. You can do it, everything like that. The Super Bowl is right in front of you. If I told you you had one player and the Super Bowl's right there, isn't that the whole damn point?
But you're talking about like one player is going to take us all the way to the Super Bowl.
I quite simply think that's the equation.
I don't believe that. Okay. I just don't believe that.
And that's the difference. That's fine. That's the difference. I simply think the Niners are a player away once all those other guys come back.
So once those other guys, if we still had Warner and all those guys came back, we were Super Bowl contenders then?
You're a Super Bowl contender. Absolutely.
The only one we're missing is Fred Warner.
You are no longer a Super Bowl contender without Fred Warner. That is that's quite simply what I'm saying. You are no longer a Super Bowl contender. The Niners are no longer a Super Bowl contender as it stands. And a move has to be made. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about the Niners. And it's to me, it's like the opportunity is here. The opportunity is here to show the fan base who has been heartbroken for how many years, Jorge? The last 6 years have been absolutely diabolical to the stress and angst of Niner fans.
You're talking about this guy who we were supposedly going to get, like, he's like another Fred Warner. I don't think there's another Fred Warner out there.
There's not.
Well, then what are we talking about?
But at least it's another guy who can supplement things in a pass rush that can absolutely.
But what I'm
like
saying
Jalen
is, why don't we wait to see if we have something like that already in our
trenches?
Because
you saw the second half of the Bucs game, and the Bucs could do whatever they wanted.
Well, I'm just saying, let's wait one more game and see if we have that. If not, then we'll go ahead and look for options. But I'm just not saying don't go ahead and grab whatever is out there in desperation.
It's fair. But I'm also saying, I know when you want to beat the Buccaneers and you want to beat the Eagles and you want to beat any of those teams that are contending in the NFC right now, it's not going to do it if you have what you have right now. I think they know the answer is they have to find something. It's whether it's at the bargain bin, at the middle shelf, or if they want to go top shelf. What do they want to do?
I don't know.
What's the equation?
I don't think there's anything at the top shelf that we could get. I don't think there's anything out there.
Man, Micah Parsons would have been fun.
That would have made, yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
Go figure.
That happened too fast.
I don't know. We'll see. Niners, man, it's going to be rough. I'm just saying right now it's going to be rough in terms of it. Let's take a break. When we come back, continue some of these thoughts in terms of the NFL. We got some postseason update to you as well. Bills just got kicked off as well. So much is happening here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Stay with us. We'll continue our hour next. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are back from break in this second hour and watching some football and some baseball right here in the studio. And what a completion from Josh Allen to Josh Palmer to get into Falcons territory on one play. Falcons are up 7-0 after just totally looking efficient on offense to start their first drive. So Tyler Allgeier, 21-yard touchdown run, puts them up 7-0. But the Bills are looking to respond in a fashion. MLB playoffs right now, 7-3 Seattle leads over the Toronto Blue Jays. As of this moment, the Mariners now have a runner on with two out. Looks like another hit for Jorge Polanco, who I think he's becoming the American League playoff MVP so far. As Seattle looks to take a commanding 2-0 series lead over the Toronto Blue Jays as they could head to Seattle up 2-0, which is insane to me. Give every credit to what Seattle's been doing so far this whole playoffs right now, right? Obviously, 15 innings, trials and tribulations, all of that great stuff, the craziness of that baseball game as it continues to just sit on a razor's edge of who is going to win and who is going to see their season come to an end. That's as electrifying of baseball as you could ever watch. And for that Seattle crowd, you got to really feel for it. I've said this from the outright of this playoffs, at least in people to passing. I don't know if I told it to you guys on air here, the listeners, but I am frankly fully on the train of Seattle versus Milwaukee because I want to see a new World Series champion because both of those franchises has yet to win a World Series that they've been around for quite some time. Mariners, Brewers would be awesome. Would be an awesome, awesome World Series. And frankly, for a lot of subsection of people, I think they're okay with any three teams that are left in winning that World Series. The only one that they don't like is that L.A. Dodger blue. Saw an interesting article, by the way, from Jeff Passan. We talked about the future of baseball could be on the line between the Milwaukee and L.A. series in terms of whether we play baseball in 2027, which is interesting. Stating that leverage certainly could be used in terms of the results. In terms of if you're a fan of baseball and want to see baseball being played in 2027, then maybe you want to see the Dodgers win that World Series this year. Quite simply to point out to the Players Association that a super team, juggernaut team, is simply unattainable in this league. And so by the idea of that, with the Dodgers winning the World Series, the owners can leverage a salary cap because, well, who else certainly is going to win other than the team that spends the most money? And on the flip side, if Milwaukee wins, the Players Association certainly will be able to leverage it in a way that tells you, hey, the idea of a salary cap is a falsehood and one that is not sustainable because look at the Milwaukee Brewers. They have spent the third least amount of money
in baseball, and they are on their way to winning a World Series in that fashion. So the idea of baseball being on a razor's edge in that sense is going to be interesting. Also, I have an update from Toronto, Jorge. The Mariners have now taken a 9-3 lead. Josh Naylor just hit a two-run homer. It is 9-3 Seattle. Are you surprised with how dominant Seattle has been after playing that 15-inning game not 4 days ago, 3 days ago, and are now 2-0 potentially up on the series in Toronto? Are you surprised about that?
No, I'm not really surprised. I think that, these are some tough teams, and they're, you know, the top teams of the American League. So they're there for a reason.
Be awesome. Awesome stuff. And we have an update in the football game. Touchdown Bills. 19-yard touchdown pass from Josh Allen to Dawson Knox. And they're an extra point away from tying this game with
first
80,
one. That's 80, the first one, right?
First touchdown of the night. You're counting them. Four or five tonight. Jorge, why don't we give our guest a call as a vamp here? We're going to bring on Karen Robley. Head coach of Fresno City Volleyball here in a moment. She's taking some time to step out of practice and chat with us for 10-ish minutes or so to talk about what's an exciting opportunity coming up for the volleyball team, the Fresno City Volleyball team, historic Fresno City Volleyball team. Folks, they're getting to 50 years. That's right, celebrating 50 years of success. Playing volleyball on the volleyball court, and we are going to be talking to the head coach here momentarily. But as we get the call in, another reminder for the schedule tonight, of course, on 790, you're listening to those baseball games, the Mariners and the Blue Jays. Later, after that game, it'll be Dodgers and Brewers from Milwaukee. So be privy of that. Coming up tonight right after us, it is Bears Commanders. We apologize. We do not have the Bills game. NFL rules don't allow us to play both games at the same time. So we have the Bears and the Commanders, which is going to be our major wager game of the night. All right. We have on the airwaves, as I transition them over here, I think they now can hear me. We got head coach of Fresno City Volleyball, Karen Robley, who now joins us now. Coach Robley, how are we doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. Great to have you, of course, and excited to appreciate you, first of all, for stepping out. I know you're busy with practice and everything, guiding a historic program and all that great stuff, but I appreciate you taking the time. How are you doing on this Monday?
We're doing well. Just growth and gains today in practice.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're excited to chat with you. We wanted to take this opportunity because you guys have an exciting celebration, a historic celebration of this program, which you're proud to be a part of. 50 years of Fresno City Volleyball has been around. 50 years, long time, and you guys are celebrating it on Friday with a big-time game at 6 p.m., big time tailgate at 4 p.m. It's going to be exciting, all that. First off, when you hear 50 years, the program being around for 50 years, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, I just think about all the alumni that have contributed to this program. I'm pretty seasoned and old, so even though I didn't attend Fresno City, you know, I played many years ago, and I understand the importance of alumni and what they bring to the legacy of programs, and we're just super excited to acknowledge all of them and some of our past coaches that we've had over the years, and celebrate women's sports, really, and the growth and where the game has evolved with volleyball.
Certainly, and the interest in volleyball, right? You've seen it quite a bit, and you mentioned the growth of women's sport. You see volleyball televised all the time now and every which way. And does it excite you where the direction volleyball's kind of going? Even if you see it at the level you see it at with the JUCO level, the D1 level, D2, all that great stuff. How has the sport grown from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, to see how the game has changed from when we did – fight out scoring, and when it changed to rally scoring, I think that's when it really picked up steam in terms of being viewer friendly for broadcast. And kind of, at least with volleyball, you know, everything kind of trickles down from the international level, you know, and where things go, and just seeing now, you know, how the libero, which is our goalie in our sport, you know, in the other jersey, that position has changed and is such a factor with the game and the first touch. And, you know, back in the day, you could only serve from a third of the, or the fourth of the side of the court over there, and now you can serve anywhere on the line, and just seeing how the game has changed and the speed and the athleticism has evolved with volleyball. It's super fun to watch. And, yeah, as you mentioned, it's getting televised a lot, and it's just growing with viewership, which is great.
Certainly, and of course the support, especially in the program that you have yourself, with a program that is as decorated as anybody's has seen, you know, a couple of state titles, of course, consistent conference championships year in and year out. What have you seen from your time, just the support, just in general, from what you've seen from the Fresno City volleyball perspective, and how much that program is supported from everybody there?
Yeah, I think you mentioned a little bit, it's really about community. We're so fortunate to showcase many of our talented athletes within our Central Valley that have come through the program. And we get to showcase the hard work that elementary coaches, junior high school coaches have done, the club coaches in our area, with the athletes that come and play and are part of the Ram experience here. There's been some tremendous coaches over the years that have really been the flagship to get us where we are. But it really does come from our community coaches and our athletes. And there's a lot of good volleyball in Fresno, and we get to showcase a lot of that. So we're excited.
Absolutely. And, of course, celebrating it all on this Friday against the game against Kalinga. It's going to be exciting, of course, and, you know, you got to really get out there early, right, to really soak it all in. 4 o'clock, the concourse opens, the pre-match tailgate, all that stuff. Just tell me about what people are going to experience on that Friday, not just watching the game, but really soaking in all of the stuff that's going to be recognized throughout that that evening.
Yeah, I hope that they're going to have the opportunity to connect with people that they haven't seen in a while, and then, can you know, some of the alumni that are from the earlier decades be able to connect with some of our more recent alumni and just sharing experiences. It's been kind of fun the last week and a half of looking at some of our archived pictures. I always tell our players when we take our end of the year picture, that this one's for the history books. 100 years, they're going to look at your hairstyle and question it. So it's been fun and being able to probably share some really nice stories in years past. I know that Sherry Hess, who coached here from 99 to 2005, she's coming, and I know that she's going to be bringing some memorabilia and looking forward to reconnecting with people. Tracy Schultze, who was prior to me, I know that she's coming, and we're hoping that a few of the other coaches are coming too. And yeah, just hearing some great stories and having some laughs over some fond memories.
Are there some players you're like, wow, I can't believe I haven't seen them in a bit? I'm sure you're excited to see some old players too. Maybe some, you know, what who are you most excited about from the player front that are coming?
Well, it's been fun to be in some of the text threads from the different teams. I do know that 2016, our state champ, our first state championship team, they're coordinating some T-shirts, so I know that they're coming with their spirit. I always like, we've had players that are, you know, their mothers have played previously. So having that second generation where we have mothers and daughters, seeing that is always really cool too out there. So, yeah, I think 16's trying to bring it and trump everybody.
It's exciting. That's awesome. Generations. It's funny to think about, but 50 years will yield that. You mentioned this team this year is off to a great start as well. 15-4 and playing well. You know, tell us a little bit about this team and why they're worth the price of admission alone.
Oh, I think, again, we're showcasing a lot of talent in our Valley from our Valley schools. We're a very balanced team in terms of our distribution, and so there's not just one or two players that are shining for our Fresno City Rams this year. There are a multitude of our players that are outstanding and that can put some heat on the ball, and our center does a nice job of distributing, and we have a really good first touch. And Kalinga has an outstanding team, so we know that there's also quite a few players that are from the Fresno area, so it's going to be a nice competitive match, and I think people are going to enjoy watching both the quality teams go at it on Friday.
Well, Coach, we can't wait, of course. So the information, once again, for the people who want to go out there on Friday, it's a 4 p.m. The doors open, I guess you could say. The concourse opens, and it's a 6 p.m. Start in that one. And then there'll be some big special recognitions between sets 2 and 3, right? So you want to be in your seat pretty much the whole time. You feel like you don't want to miss anything, right, Coach?
Yeah, we're excited to get those alumni out there and have them be recognized for what they've done and help our program. So we're excited for it.
And there's an after gathering at Moto, by the way. I think I saw that at the flyer as well. So hopefully a victory one after that as well. So it should be good.
True.
Should be good, Coach. Well, I appreciate you taking quick time out of your practice and talking about this exciting event. So be sure to go on Friday. Coach, good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll be talking down the stretch, and best of luck and have fun on Friday.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Coach Karen Robley of Fresno City Volleyball. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show next, give you updates on some of the games going on. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. As we get close to the close of our show, a reminder that once again, baseball over on 790 right now, 10-3 Seattle up over the Toronto Blue Jays. For many, your Los Angeles Dodgers to follow on 790 as they take on the Milwaukee Brewers from the great town of Milwaukee. Over on 1430, right after us, it'll be Bears and Commanders from Washington, D.C. And Jorge, Bears, Commanders. Well, actually, before I get into that, let's talk about the schedule as a whole, right? Because it's in flux a little bit. We're not going to have a full show all week, to my understanding, right, Jorge?
Not a three-hour show, no.
No three-hour shows this week with all the playoff baseball. So my understanding is that we'll have Tony's show. Tony's going to have his full hour all week. We'll be able to do his Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3. We will have my show tomorrow from 4 to 4:30 as we have to duck out for Game 2 of the Brewers and Dodgers game, which will be in Milwaukee. Then Wednesday we'll be out again at 4:30 from 3 to 4:30 because we have Game 3 from Seattle between the Mariners and the Blue Jays.
It really all depends on how the TV wants or the radio wants to do it.
Yeah.
And if they want to because they still haven't given me the times yet.
But I'm under the impression it should be all the same. But
yeah, it just really depends on them. Sometimes they switch it up and it just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the game's at 5:08 anyway on Wednesday, so I'd imagine we're airing it in some form or fashion on Wednesday. And you don't want to put it on 790 because you got the Sunbird Sports Show, I'd imagine. So.
Yeah.
So, by the way, yeah, well, Sunbird Sports Show will return Wednesday after a week off.
We also have Sharks games.
Yeah, there's some Sharks games. I think we're going to have a Sharks game tomorrow on 790. Taking on the Hurricanes. So Well, we'll have a bunch of programming. Thursday Night Football is going to be on Thursday, so that's why we're going to do 2 hours of Fashion Furniture. We have the Steelers in the Bengals. Did you see the quote Jamar Chase said about the Steelers before their game on Thursday? So the Steelers are going to come raw dog us if we play the way we play, and I don't know if he knows what that means.
He said that.
He said that.
Is it this a locker room like interview?
I don't know what Jamar Chase means by that, and I'm just gonna just move on.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin also questioned the Bengals of why they traded for Joe Flacco in an honest moment at the podium today. I don't know if you saw that as well. So, rivalry juices are renewing right now, surely. And then on Friday, we're only gonna have an hour Friday because your boys got to get to Kingsburg, and I. Let's be honest. I'm just nervous about the 99 traffic. Everybody gets nervous about the 99 traffic. So we're going to get out of here at 4 o'clock, try to get to Kingsburg in a timely manner so we can call Kingsburg and Kerman on Friday. Me and Paul Metter's back on the call for another good one. So should be a lot of fun there. So so that's what we got going on for you there. Some baseball, some hockey. By the way, NBA starts next week, Jorge. NBA. Next week,
Tuesday,
the opening night between the Lakers and the
Warriors.
Can't wait for that. My Warriors are once again going to win a title again because they signed Al Horford. That's the move they needed. Surely, Jimmy Buckets, Draymond, Steph. Come on, we're ready to go. Full year of Jimmy Buckets. I can't wait.
Jimmy Buckets, name.
You forgot he was there. I bet you. I bet you forgot.
I did forget.
You forgot we got Jimmy Buckets. Anyways. Lakers, no LeBron starting a season for the first time in his career, by the way.
He's got sciatica.
Whatever that is. It's like a nerve thing?
It's a nerve that it's if you're older, it hits you more. But
he's old.
Yeah, and I know people around my age, which is his age, that had it. So
you younger or older than LeBron? You're younger than LeBron.
I'm a little bit younger.
Yeah,
like you're younger.
Yeah, a little bit younger than LeBron. Basketball. 8 days till opening night of basketball. I'm not really ready for the basketball season. I don't know what to make of the basketball season. Who's the contender? Is it the Thunder? Is that it? Like, because all the East is just cannon fodder.
Is that what it is?
I mean, who's winning the East?
The Celtics have a pretty strong team.
No, Tatum. They just have Brown. Is it just Jalen Brown? Just willing? Is it?
They still have those players from.
I'm guessing it's the Knicks. It has to be the Knicks, right?
The Knicks, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Cleveland.
It's a little bit early to tell. Still, there's a lot of.
It's not going to be Indiana.
Changing things,
it's not going to be the 76ers. It's not going to be the Bucks, right?
Houston
just lost Van Vliet. They're dead. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that too.
Minnesota. Finally, Minnesota's time? I don't know. We'll see. I didn't know I'd get an NBA talk here. All right, let's do Daily Spread Part 2, brought to you by Chichancy Gold Resort Casino. Daily Spread. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck with Chichancy Gold Resort and Casino. Spread tonight in Chicago and Washington. Commanders, 5.5-point favorites. Jorge, where are you leaning tonight between Chicago and Washington?
I'm going Chicago.
Chicago.
This is gonna be one of those games where it's so close, but I don't know who's winning it.
Wow.
I really don't have a preference here.
Uh-huh.
I just think Chicago might get a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from what happened last time.
Okay.
And
what happened? Remind the people what happened last time these two teams played.
They thought they won it and they didn't.
Yeah. Who was the guy who's celebrating and he was like mocking Commander fans as the final play was being run? It was a DB for the Bears.
Yeah.
And then he knocked it out away and it went into the hands of whoever the receiver was.
Yeah, instead of like knocking it down, he knocked it up in the air and backwards.
One of the all time worst moments you could have as an NFL player, right?
After you mocked them for, you know, winning a game that you hadn't won yet.
Yep. And sure enough, we won't have that again tonight, right?
We might. These teams are, I don't know. Yeah, that kind of a.
I think the Commanders, if they win by like 3 touchdowns tonight, I think they take themselves into a conversation of being maybe the NFC East favorites. If they go out and just manhandle this Bears team, I think they're better than the Eagles in the way the Eagles are playing football.
Can they manhandle anybody?
They
lost to the Falcons.
Yeah, but they handled the Chargers pretty nicely last week, remember?
And they lost to the Falcons.
I think it was a Mariota-led Falcons team. Commanders team. I don't think Daniels was back yet.
He wasn't back yet?
No. So.
Okay.
They weathered the storm a little bit. They've lost to Green Bay. They've lost to Atlanta. So I'm kind of waiting to see who the real Commanders are right now at 3-2. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I'm going to go Washington tonight. I think Washington just has the firepower. Debo's back. He's healthy. The Bears just have issues on defense. I think Bill Kroski merits one of my favorites in terms of it. So we got another touchdown. We got the Falcons taking the lead again. Drake London with a 9-yard catch for a touchdown.
Was it quarterback of the Falcons?
Penix right now. Yeah, Penix with a dart. Right at the goal line, London just reached out with the football and broke the plane.
He's just forcing Allen to get another touchdown, you know?
Yep. So 14, soon to be 14-0 or 14-7 Falcons right now, right before the end of the first quarter. And I'd say I feel pretty comfortable about my pick. I'd say I feel pretty comfortable about my Falcons beating the Bills pick here. So we'll see. We'll see. Mariners up 10-3. That's going to the eighth inning, by the way. It's going to the eighth inning. So just a little update for all of the people that are around there as well. Brewers, Dodgers about to start. Who's winning that series, Jorge?
I want the Brewers to win.
I think you want the Brewers to win, but who's gonna win?
No, honestly, I think the Brewers have a better lineup. Not lineup.
Pitching?
Yeah. Like
bullpen, all that?
Bullpen.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say.
I think bullpen. The Brewers play defense better as well. I think they're a better defensive team, in my opinion. I think they're just a little bit more sound.
I mean, if the Dodgers keep on struggling in the bullpen.
Dodger bullpen looks good. They just unlocked something with Roki. I'm a little worried about, really? Like, Roki being the guy who's kind of unlocked things for him. So
I feel like that was just...
Just one series?
Yeah.
Just one series? All right. Well, we'll see. All right, Jorge, we got to run. So appreciate it as always. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Good show, Jorge.
Great show.
Bears, Commanders, Monday Night Football coming up next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.